Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And the Lord's just been speaking to my heart that we need to enjoy ourselves. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And we need to laugh more. We need to smile more. I don't know about you, but much of my life I've been very serious. And so I'm doing something I've never done. But I just want to share a few little light stories to perhaps pick up your day. And this first little article, I don't know if it's true or not. It sounds like it is, but it's about tagging birds. Okay, here we go. According to the Knight Ridder News Service, the inscription on the metal bands used by the U.S. Department of the Interior to tag migratory birds has been changed. The bands used to bear the address of the Washington Biological Survey, abbreviated WASH, W-A-S-H, period, BIOL, B-I-O-L, period, and SURV, S-U-R-V, period, for the Washington Biological Survey. That's what the tags were like that they used to put on the birds, until the agency received the following letter from an Arkansas camper. Dear Sirs, while camping last week, I shot one of your birds. I think it was a crow. I followed the cooking instructions on the leg tag, and I want to tell you, it was horrible. Remember, that was wash, boil, serve. The bands are now marked Fish and Wildlife Service. Oh, goodness. Okay, one more. This is a transcript between a commuter and the railroad company regarding services of the latter. This commuter writes, "Gentlemen, I have been riding trains daily for the last 22 years, and the service on your line seems to be getting worse every day. I am tired of standing in the aisle all the time on a 14-mile trip. I think your transportation system is worse than that enjoyed by people 2,000 years ago. Yours truly, a commuter." The reply to the above. Dear Sir, we received your letter with reference to the shortcomings of our service and believe you are somewhat confused in your history. The only mode of transportation 2,000 years ago was by foot. Sincerely, Western Railways. And the counter reply was, "Gentlemen, I'm in receipt of your letter, and I think you are the ones who are confused in your history. If you will refer to the Bible, Book of David, 9th chapter, you will find that Balaam rode to town seated on his donkey. That, gentlemen, is something I have not been able to do on your train in the last 22 years. Yours truly, a long-standing commuter." Okay, praise the Lord. All right, having gotten a smile for the day aside, let's go now to the ministry of the Word. Father, we thank you for the Word, and we thank you, Lord, you've given us the whole Word of God for the whole man. Lord, that every part of our being, body, soul, and spirit, has been provided for by the loving atonement that Jesus Christ made for us, laying down his life for all that we would have need of. And so, Lord, I thank you for ministering through the Word of God. And Lord, those that are hurting as they're listening right now, Lord, those who might be in pain physically or pain emotionally, Lord, sometimes the pain, emotional pain and suffering is even more acute and harder to bear than physical pain. So, Lord, I speak your comfort right now, that the balm of Gilead would be applied to every heart. And Lord, that you will just lift them up. You are the glory and the lifter up of our head. And Father, let us worship you. Let us trust you to make a way where there may seem to be no way, where you're going to, Lord, cause circumstances and situations to change. We bind the work of the enemy, and we loose the intervention of Almighty God, that you will bear your holy arm in the behalf of your people, Lord, and they will see victory in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I'd like to just lay a little bit of groundwork. We were talking about, according to the scripture reference in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where the apostle prayed, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That we are a tripartite being. It's evident, of course, what our bodies are, our physical temple, but the spirit is operative in our salvation. It's the mind, will, and decision-making capacity, if you will. And the soul, according to the Hebrew concept, was the entire personality of a man. In the Greek concept, psuche, that word means a living being, the seat of feeling, desires, affections, and aversions, things we like, things we don't like. And so I have believed for many, many years, and perhaps that's why the Lord gave Brother Glass that slogan, the whole word for the whole man. We need our whole man to be ministered to by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. Healing is provided for our bodies. Our spirit is that soul need to be born again, to be to come alive in Jesus. That is accomplished at the new birth. But then, after we're born again, our entire life until we go to meet Jesus is really focused on the needs of our soul. That's one of mankind's greatest needs for the saved and the unsaved. In other words, our emotional nature, our personality, the things, how we feel. You know, we can say, well, you know, I just walk by faith, not by feeling. But reality bears out that we're emotional creatures, and there's nothing wrong with that. God made us that way. We're made in His image, and God is a very emotional God. He gets really angry. He can get upset. He can be grieved. And, of course, He's got agape love that we can't really lay hold of. It's so infinite. It's so great. Remember what Paul said in the book of Romans, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things," he says in verse 37, "we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So one of our greatest needs is the needs of our soul nature. And let me ask you a question. Do you allow the Lord to meet the needs of your soul? Think about that. Do you? When you're upset, when you're stressed, when you're hurting, do you go to God and allow Him to do that? He's the only one who really can help. Bad things happen to all of us, even God's people. Some of the best, most wonderful saints of God have gone through amazing, incredible tragedies in their lives. But how do we seek comfort? And it's not a question of if you will, it's an absolute guarantee that you will. It's just a very part of our nature that when we're hurting, and even animals are that way, when they're hurting, they want cessation of pain, whatever it would be. And so there are various ways that we can seek to comfort ourselves. For example, with activity, with people, with things. And that's not bad in itself. We can use any variety of things to minister to the hurts that we experience in our day-to-day lives. Sometimes people get comfort by being distracted, if you will, an activity which serves as a distraction or a diversion, or sometimes work. Work becomes a diversion, or entertainment, or recreation. Sometimes just, you know, watching a movie, reading a book, or whatever. And sometimes people or relationships. When you're really hurting, sometimes some people go and just, you know, get on the phone or go to visit someone. And sometimes, of course, that could be unhealthy. And, of course, another arena is things, possessions. Some people, when they get depressed or disturbed, they go out and buy something, or they indulge in food or alcohol or drugs. So whether it's activity or people or relationships or things, these are all the various ways that we seek to find comfort outside of God. Now, let me say this. None of these things are bad in themselves. Well, perhaps I should put a disclaimer. Obviously, any kind of addiction like alcohol or drug addiction, of course, that's definitely not good. But the things that are that surround us, they're not bad in themselves, because God has given us richly all things to enjoy. And as we even look at the scripture, we can see evidence that sometimes these material, natural things are being used to give comfort. Remember when Jesus raised the damsel from death, what did he say to her parents? Give her something to eat. And when Isaac lost his mother Sarah, the word says that he brought Rebekah, his wife, into his mother's tent and was comforted. But beloved, even while all these things have been given by God to us, the wonderful things that we do enjoy, God himself is to be our primary source of comfort, our source of strength and counsel, solace, whatever the need might be. He's a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to put anything before him, even things that are lawful. Even things that are, there's nothing sinful or unrighteousness is not involved in any way. Yet God is to be our source of comfort. Let me share what the Word has to say, some selections from the Word. Psalm 63, 5 and 6 says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches." Another thought in Scripture expresses, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thy love is better than wine. Whom have I in heaven but thee?" the psalmist declared, "and there is none that I desire on earth beside thee. Thou art fairer than the children of man. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste," Song of Solomon declares. "He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend." Praise God. Well, I see my time is getting away from me, and we're continue these thoughts on our broadcast tomorrow, and I pray that you'll be able to join me. In a moment, the announcer will give you our contact information, and I so look forward to hearing from you. If you're a new listener and have been blessed by the broadcast, I invite you to write either email or snail mail, but I personally will get your letter and send back a response. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,